In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge with us. Pass the Popcorn is brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan in studio here. Hello there, Mr. Adams.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well. How's your Monday so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, so far, so good. Can't complain.
Busy weekend. You wrapped up a performances of Ugly Lies the Bone at Penobscot Theater Company. That's always kind of a bittersweet, especially when it's a small, and it sounds like you guys were a really tight cast.
Yeah, like when it's one of those really sort of, you know, hold each other up kind of ensembles where, you know, you were just, you know, no one just sat in their dressing room the whole time. Like it was like it was very communal. A lot of laughs backstage, which, you know, when you're dealing with something as sort of heavy in terms of subject matter as this, like you gotta find times to laugh, and we did that, and it's one of those things where like I'm gonna miss those folks, and to go from 60 to zero like that it's tough. Like I've spent more time with those folks over the past 6 weeks than I have with like my wife.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The good news is you get to reunite with Sheridan and the lovely Stella.
That's right. Yeah, it's so funny. Like Sheridan, referred to it. She's like, I'm going to be a theater widow for 3 months because I did, you know, two shows in a row. So it's like, I am finally going to be able to spend some of 2018, hanging out on my couch, maybe have a couple cocktails and, knock on wood, it'll be porch weather sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah. Now, from the picture I saw yesterday, I'm not sure there's much room on the couch with Stella, and it looked like she got a little toy for Easter, huh?
The Easter Bunny. She's very good, and the Easter Bunny rewards good behavior. It's funny, and we, Sheridan and I both were concerned when the Easter Bunny brought this toy because it's very soft, and we tend to aim for things that are a little more durable, just because Stella has a bit of a tendency to, you know, to go for the jugular when it comes to these sorts of things. She seeks out weak spots and immediately attacks them, but she's actually been very gentle so far with this new bunny. I mean, obviously it's not going to last, but we've sort of been embracing the cuteness while we can.
Yeah, Ginger's like that too. You know, I bought a couple toys that are advertised as being indestructible.
Oh, that's a lie.
Ginger laughs hysterically, yes, as only a dog can do when she rips that thing apart in about 40 seconds.
Yep, challenge accepted. Indestructible? I scoff. Yeah. I scoff at your indestructibility.
Now, we also, in the midst of all your shows and the Easter weekend, we even managed to get the whole crew down to Southern Maine for our annual Bangor Drum Slowly League Rotisserie Baseball Draft.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It's a pain in the butt to do that sort of Portland trip, because, you know, you have to get up early and be down there and all that stuff. But, you know, and you stop and think about it, it's like, well, you know, we only have to make that trip, you know, 1 year out of five,
right,
whereas the other guys, you know, they got to schlep their way up here, you know, every, you know, 4 years. And, you know, so it's nice that they get a chance to kind of host every once in a while, and it breaks down nicely. And yeah, it was a good time. Like, it's a good bunch of guys.
Who was the I'm talking with our friend Mike Paquette about what a fun experience it was. Everybody giving each other a good-natured hard time.
That's right.
But it was great. Now, who was the prize of the Coffee Brandies draft?
He's my most expensive player, but I still feel like I got him for kind of a song. Was D. Gordon, the outfielder for the Seattle Mariners, who's also second base eligible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Garrett Cole for $20 is going to be a really good purchase for me. Like, I mean, granted, like on that staff, he's like the fourth guy or whatever, but I think he's poised to really have a great year. Especially on a team that's so much better than the team he was on before. So it's like, I think it's going to be a good year for him, assuming he doesn't hurt himself, because literally every pitcher in the major leagues is one pitch away from having their, you know, elbow ligament explode.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was fun. Good time. Good luck to you and the Allen's Coffee Brandies this season.
And to the Kimball Organs as well.
Yes, our unique draft approach to take all of the really expensive guys and then sit back and look for bargains at the end.
You have probably the three best players in the American League on your roster. There's something to be said for that.
When you want your friend Jose Altuve to come home, you know where he is.
Yes, I have no doubt that we will be talking about this at some point down the road.
And in the midst of all of that, you got to the movies. What did you see this
weekend? I did get to the movies. I went to see Ready Player One. Like that was the one. Although it was tough. Just because of the way the weekend schedule played out. Sheridan and I actually it was the end of our Easter celebration. I had a matinee of the show, the final performance. Came home, had some delicious ham. And then we made our way over to Bangor Mall Cinemas to check out Ready Player One. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, Ernest Cline, book of the same name, Ready Player One, came out in 2011. It's one of those books that is very steeped in a very specific kind of nostalgia, built around a love of popular culture from a very specific era, but yeah, and it's the remarkable thing about it is it's nostalgic for the era where Steven Spielberg was making the sorts of movies that make people nostalgic for that era. It's like this nostalgiaception thing that is happening that was really pretty entertaining to watch. I liked this movie more than I think some people did. But yeah, it's basically, you've got this, this young man by the name of Wade Watts, played by Ty Sheridan. The year's 2045. He lives in Columbus, Ohio, in this, de facto ghetto. They call it the Stacks. And it's basically like trailers, like mobile homes, like stacked on each other and like welded into place with steel beams. Like that's this, you know, you can only, you know, expand vertically. Like the horizontal real estate is so prohibitively expensive because of the way, the population has grown, the economy has changed, et cetera, et cetera. And basically everyone in the world escapes the sort of bleakness of their everyday life by spending time in this massive online arena called the Oasis, invented by a sort of, you know, weirdo hippie type, long hair Steve Jobs kind of guy named James Halliday, played by Mark Rylance, who I didn't know was in the movie. I got to the movie and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Mark Rylance. And I'm like, oh wait, he and Spielberg are like best friends now, so obviously he's in this movie. But he has he created this thing called the Oasis, where it's this virtual reality like online experience where basically everybody can do anything. Like it all boils down to you know, if you can figure out a way to pay for it, you can do whatever you want. But when Halliday passed away 5 years previously, he basically offered up a contest. He declared that he had hidden an Easter egg somewhere in the nigh infinite span of the Oasis, and anyone who could find it would gain control over not only the Oasis but Halliday's shares in the company that owns the Oasis, which is worth like hundreds of billions of dollars. And so obviously a cottage industry sort of springs up around trying to find the keys that will help you get this Easter egg. And this guy, Wade Watts, is one of them. Like he's a, they call them gunters. So egg hunters. they basically engage in this race where they've determined that you have to win this race to get the first key, but no one's been able to win the race, and that's kind of where we start. We meet Wade's online avatar named Parzival. He's got friends, one named H, another named Artemis, who's also kind of a rival and kind of a love interest, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then once he inadvertently figures out how to find that first key, well, then everything kind of goes, starts to spiral out of control because there's this massive corporation called IOI, run by a sort of scheming executive type named Sorrento, played by Ben Mendelsohn. And their goal is to gain control of the Oasis so they can monetize it through advertising. So basically, like, put like pop-up ads in this, you know, this wonderful, like, you know, utopian internet landscape. They've, you know, enlisted, like, hired mercenaries, and they've basically brought back debtors' prisons. They call them loyalty centers, where people have to, like, you know, basically, you've heard the term, mining or farming for, like, online, like, stuff like World of Warcraft. It's, yep, like, it's like the Oasis equivalent of that. So they buy up people's debt and then just stick them in a closet and make them, like, do stuff until they pay off their debt, which they can never do because it's like this sort of, you know, Dickensian, like, future where, yeah, it's really kind of dark and bleak. But yeah, and so we get to follow the adventure of these folks, of Wade and his friends as they try to be the first to, you know, to beat out this massive corporation and save, and not only, achieve mass fame and wealth and whatnot, but, you know, save this wonderful place from being essentially destroyed by corporate interests.
You liked it?
I did. But in the interest of full disclosure, I'm literally the target audience for this. The era being addressed is like the 80s and early 90s, and that's my pop culture wheelhouse. So it's just packed full of references to things that I have a very deep-seated affection for. I don't know how it's going to be received by people who are either, a bit older than me or younger than I am, just because I don't think they necessarily have that same connection to the material that's being addressed. But that being said, it's still Spielberg. Like, you know, this sort of young person sci-fi adventure is, you know, you want to talk about wheelhouses. Like, it's pretty squarely in his. And granted, he hasn't done a movie quite like this in a while. But, like riding a bike, like, he certainly didn't forget how to do it. He's very comfortable in these sort of effects-laden kinds of story, you know, these sort of CGI storytelling notions, and so he does a great job with that. There are some pretty fun set pieces throughout that are handled beautifully. In terms of the narrative, it's less successful. There's a bit of a Mary Sue quality to Wade. Like, he's the smartest and he's the best and he's gonna save the day. A lot of the supporting characters are rendered a bit thinly, which, you know, isn't super surprising when you consider a lot of the book basically just consisted of lists of things that, you know, Ernest Cline likes. And you get a lot of that, whether it's like, you know, like DeLoreans or references to John Hughes movies, the Iron Giant plays a prominent role, all this stuff. And it's this wonderful sort of mishmash. And, in a lot of ways, it's Remember That Thing, the movie. But that's okay. Like, for me, it was certainly okay because I do remember those things. I remember all of those things. Again, I'm not going to go so far as to call it a great movie. And there are some problematic issues in terms of, character development and that sort of thing. But in the grand scheme of things, like, it's still Spielberg doing sci-fi with, you know, kids in the lead. And that's always going to tug at my heartstrings. And, drags a little bit at the end, you know, that wraps up maybe a little too, it's a little too pat at the end. But, you know, for 2/3 of the movie, it's not a bad time. And even when you take it in the, you know, as a whole, I think it's, frankly, it's more successful than I would have anticipated an adaptation of this book to be.
Alan Adams telling you everything he thinks about Ready Player One here on Pass the Popcorn. Thanks, Al.
You're very welcome.
We'll see you Wednesday, right?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, get some rest tonight.
If
you can.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, thanks. We'll see you next time. It's 5:34. Remind you, Pass the Popcorn is brought to you by our friends at Bangor Mall Cinema 10. They're on Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Got a film for everybody in the whole family.